Let me read the announcements. 306. 306. As possible, you kneel with me in the opening prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we are thankful, Lord, for the blessings of life which you poured out upon us. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you provided this day for us to come and to worship you and to hear your word preached and to remember you and to remember the Sabbath on which we come. Lord, I do pray that you continue to bless us as we meet together this evening, that you'll bless the speaker of the hour, that you'll touch his heart and his mind and his tongue, that he can present unto us this very evening the things which you placed upon his heart, that we will take it to ourselves and we'll use it to guide us and to direct us as we walk through this life, as we use this time in which you've granted unto us to prepare ourselves to stand before you in the great judgment day. Lord, I do pray that you forgive us of our sins, that you forgive us of our weaknesses, that you strengthen us, dear Heavenly Father, where we're weak, that you help us to be mighty instruments in your hand, that you direct our paths and our thoughts and our words and our deeds, that we might be a light into the world in which we live in, that we might be able to express the things of which you have told us that we can bring others to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can bring others into the way of salvation. Lord, I do pray that you be with those that will be traveling to join with us at reunion this year, that you will bless journeys as they fly or as they drive, that they'll be able to come safely and that they'll be able to join with us and to feast upon the spiritual food which you will impart unto us during the time we set aside to join together and meet in reunion. Lord, I do pray that you will prepare the way for each as they make the preparations to come, that those who have a desire might be able to make it here and to join. Lord, I do pray that you be with the many sick and the afflicted, those who have an interest and a need in our prayers, that you lift them up, that you strengthen them. For the one that will be a minister to this night, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your blessing to be upon her, that you'll see the need that she has, that you will see her faith, and that you will bless her mightily even now. Lord, I do pray that you continue with the missionary work, that you continue to be with our brothers and sisters in foreign lands, that you continue to be with our ministry that labor in these foreign lands, be it the missionaries that go from away from their home to minister the gospel, or those who live in these places, that you will direct their minds and direct their thoughts, that they might be able to teach and to preach your truth and your gospel. Lord, I do pray that you continue to prepare the hearts of your the men within the church, that they might be called and set aside into the different offices of the ministry, that there will be pastors and elders and priests and teachers in all the congregations. We pray, Lord, for more evangelists to be called. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll prepare one to occupy in the Council of Apostles, that we might have a full quorum once again. Lord, we look to you, knowing that you know all the needs of your church and of this body, and we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you bless us, that you will pour out the gifts of your Spirit more abundantly upon us, that we might have it to do your work in these last days. So, Lord, as we come before you even now, we pray for your Spirit to rest upon this service, to be with us, to direct our minds, to prepare our hearts to receive the message even now. And we ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Let us continue with number 252. We have an administration to care for at this time. Holly, will you come forward? Andy and Jay, could you take care of this for us, please? I ask you now to give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother who's prepared himself, and allow the Lord to place upon his heart a message for us this night. I give to you our brother, Elder Gordon McCann.
Good evening. It is good to see each one of you here tonight. I do ask your forgiveness if you just plug your finger in your ears and think about in your mind a high, real high-pitched noise, that's the way I'm operating. When I talk, I hear only myself, and I hear this high-pitched frequency. But I hope I don't yell too much where I or speak too softly where you can't hear me. I spent a lot of time, part of it on Friday, but most of it on Saturday, considering those things in which I would bring forth to you today. In prayer and study, there was on my mind a lot of things that are more of the on the side of current events, where when you pick up a paper and you see those things that are coming upon our land, and Brother Brian spoke a little bit about it this morning concerning the homosexual rights and those kinds of things, and I reflected upon those things and thought about I did a lot of studying about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I thought maybe that was the thing that I would present to you tonight. And before I went to bed, I prayed that the Lord would guide me in my thought and the direction in which we would go today. And this morning, as I awoke, and I had a song that was on my heart this morning, and it drew me in a different direction. And so the direction that I would be bringing to you tonight would be in this vein. On page 390 of your song hymnals, there's a very familiar song. And it was interesting that I had this, you know, these words came to my mind: "Ye must be born again." And I'm thinking that that's some very basic teachings of the Church of Christ, and kind of odd that came to me this morning. But then I have full faith and confidence that whatever's going to be presented tonight is something that somebody needs. They need to hear, either for another time or to solidify those thoughts in their mind, whatever it might be, and come to a better understanding. You must be born again. Tonight I'm also going to try and tie together some things that we've been studying in Exodus, maybe make some sense to it, to some of the things that would really apply or for our understanding in these last days. I'm also, hopefully, I'll be able to tie some of the beautiful prophecies that we find in the book of Isaiah that link it as well. I truly am amazed how the Spirit of God works in helping to put together these different pieces of the puzzle of the plan of salvation that God had enacted from the very beginning. When I had an opportunity to go to Honduras, there was one theme that came very strong to me, and that was to help them to understand the covenant that was given to Abraham long ago, and how it was passed down from generation to generation, that then applied to Jacob and the sons of Israel, and then how it fell upon the Gentiles and how that was passed down. And it's very important to understand at least that, have a good understanding of that concept, because it's very important for us to understand, and it's a big piece of that puzzle that helps us to put it all together. And I know you're saying, well, how does that have anything to do with being born again? Well, give me an opportunity. Now, I know that I kind of got started a little late, and I'm going to more than likely run a little bit late, and I beg your indulgence on that. In Genesis, in the 26th chapter, we find here the covenant that the Lord had given to Abraham. Here in verse 4 and 5, it says, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee thy seed, give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws." Now the Lord, the scriptures are very plain that the Lord does not change. He doesn't change at all, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so it is with Abraham. Following the commandments of God and the statutes, he blessed Abraham with this blessing that the multitude of the star that all the multitudes of the nations of the countries would be blessed. And we know that as we follow that lineage down, it fell where Christ came upon the earth and brought the beautiful gospel of his Father to us, that we might have the plan of salvation given to all people who would accept that plan that Christ brought. I want you to think about the first covenant in terms that as that fell, that blessing that went from Abraham and Isaac and then Jacob, we find it fell on his sons, or the 12 sons, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. And as we've been studying in the book of Exodus, I want you to take note of something. We've already passed this particular portion. As you can find it in Exodus in the 19th chapter. We've already gone by there. We're in the 26th chapter. And I hope you can remember some of these things that were taught at that time. I know we've been taking quite a while to going through this. But here I would like to rehearse these verses of Scripture that we find in the 19th chapter. And I want to go through verses 4 through 8. And I want us to look at these tonight. Here it says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And this is the Lord God speaking to Moses. And Moses came and called for the elders and the people of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. I want you to think about those words, because that was the first covenant that was made between Israel and God. Guess what? That was that marriage. That's why when you read in the Scriptures, the bridegroom and the bride, when he speaks of Israel, the bride of its youth, that was the covenant. God made a covenant with Israel, and Israel, he laid it before Israel and said, "This is what I have for you. I've chosen you. I want you to be my bride." And then Moses took those words to the house of Israel, and the house of Israel, the bride, said, "Yeah, they're good. We'll accept it." And they raised their hands in one accord, and that was brought back to the Lord. And then that marriage was consummated, in where there was the thing called the Mosaic Law. It was given to them, something that they would have to follow. They would be under this restriction of the Mosaic Law. It'd be no different than when we are married. There are certain restrictions that are put upon us as man and wife. We obligate each other to those things willingly, to follow after those things that we have swore to each other. And so it was with Israel and God. They swore their allegiance to one another, and it became a marriage or the first covenant. Now let's go over into Corinthians, in the First Corinthians, and the 10th chapter. Now I'm going to link it to something that is a little bit more familiar to us, only I'm linking it with the words of Paul. I love the words of Paul, because he's able to take those things that came from the old Mosaic Law, him being a Pharisee, and understood those things very plainly. And he was able, through by the power of the Spirit of God, to be able to draw that parallel out and to understand those things that Christ was trying to do and bring about to Israel. Here in the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I would that I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were all baptized unto Moses in that in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now the Book of Mormon was very plain. He said, I was the one that gave them the law. That was Jesus Christ saying that. Even though we find in the Old Testament it's kind of hard to see that, because it isn't as plain. But it's so. Christ was the one that gave them the law and covenanted with Israel. It was that rock was Christ. And that's what Paul was speaking of, and he understood that. Now let's tie this all together, and we find it in the book of Romans, in the 7th chapter, where Israel was, where Paul was helping the Jews to understand, to be able to break away from that old Mosaic law and the reasons why they should break away from it. Here in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Now, he's not talking to the Gentiles here. He's talking to the Jews. He wants them to understand. Why? Because they're resisting. They're resisting the new law that Christ brought. They're fighting against it. Now he's going to try and help them to understand why they shouldn't fight against that law. Now, they were fighting against the law because they felt that they were told to keep the law. And it was throughout their generations. And so they didn't understand that it had an end. And Paul tries to help them to see and understand that there was an end and the reason why there was an end. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness in spirit, and not in the oldness of the law, of the letter. All right, let's put this all together here. Paul is trying to draw an analogy. Remember I said that there was a marriage that took place, that first covenant. God espoused Israel and gave him that law. And they both agreed upon it. They were married. And it was consummated when they left Egypt and went into the wilderness and when they were brought to the lands of their inheritance. The promises were given to Israel. That was the consummation, like we were saying, the baptism when they went through the Red Sea. And the final act of the fulfilling of that covenant was the death of the law. And they came by the death of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say when he came? When he was in the book of John in the 19th chapter, you find when he's on the cross, he says, when Jesus therefore he received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What was finished? He died. You find in the Book of Mormon, in the 7th chapter, the 3rd book of Nephi, verses 3 through 6. And it came to pass that, this on page 643, and it came to pass that when Jesus had said these words, he perceived that there were some among them who marveled and wondered what he would what he would concerning the law of Moses, for they understood not the saying, the old things had passed away, that all things had become new. And he said unto them, marvel not that I said unto you, the old things had passed away, and that all things had become new. Behold, I say unto you that the law is fulfilled that was given unto Moses. Behold, I am he that gave the law, and I am he who covenanted with my people Israel. Back there in Exodus, as we could read, that we read tonight in the 19th chapter. Therefore, the law in me is fulfilled. For I have come to fulfill the law, therefore it hath an end. Behold, I do not destroy the prophets, for as many as have not been fulfilled in me, verily I say unto you, shall all be fulfilled. So we find that Jesus made that statement that when he died on the cross, he fulfilled the law. And Paul is trying to bring it in perspective. Think about it, he says. Well, you in your own law, when you're married to a man or you're married to a woman, that law is intact until what? Until death. And then the individual who is still alive is free from that law. And so it is. Israel was made free from the law of Moses on the death of the cross. Think about it. It's beautiful when you start tying those things together in the scripture, when you start reading those things in the Old Testament, where Jeremiah and Isaiah and they're prophesying, how beautiful those words come out when you have that understanding. That Israel has an opportunity to be married again to the new law. That they're free from the old law. Why? Because of the death of Christ. Because he fulfilled it. The death and rebirth of the freedom from the law of sin. The new covenant. Basically, another marriage. The law of Christ. Coming to the point of being born again. Romans in the 6th chapter, in verse 23, here it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The focal point, Jesus Christ being the Lord of all, where the Lord is making very plain that the only way is in and through him. In John 3:17, it comes to the point that of the song. We find it's recorded here in John in the 3rd chapter. Jesus speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now the Pharisees, they believed in the Spirit. They believed in angels. They believed in spiritual things. Now the Sadducees, they didn't. But they were the more aristocratic people. But the Pharisees, they were more strict and adherent to the Mosaic law in that sense of following laws and those processes that are contained within the law and of clean and unclean. And they tried very hard to adhere to those things, just like Paul did. Here it says, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. They understood, they believed in the principles of the working of the Spirit of God. And he saw that. And he knew that there was nothing other than the power of God that could do those kinds of things. And it intrigued him. It worked within his heart. He wanted to know and understand these things. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Excuse me. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, some of those things that Brother Brian was speaking of today, this morning, or there are those out there that will say that this is God, Jesus Christ is speaking of being born again, being born of water, being the absolute necessity of being baptized, and then the absolute necessity of being born of the Spirit. those two items Christ was speaking of here. And they say, oh, no, 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 no. No, that water came from when you were born, you know, when the water breaks, the natural thing, and you were in water within the womb. You know, the little one that Eliza is carrying is floating in water. And so they're saying, no, that's the water that he was talking about. And anyone comes forth, then all they have to do is say these words and the Spirit of God would fall upon him. And that's the confirmation of it. And this is what they're saying. And these are the kind of lies that are being perpetrated in society today within the Christian realm. But Christ was not speaking of those things. What did he say in Matthew in the 3rd chapter? It fulfills all righteousness to enter into the waters of baptism. And why? 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 One, because it fulfills the commandments of God. But guess what? The other is that when you are taken, as you are a candidate, and you're being brought down into the water, what's happening? Are you not being buried? You're being buried. You're dying. You're dying to the world. No different than Israel when they crossed the Red Sea, they were baptized. They died to the things of the world. What was the world that they were new? It was Egypt. God gave them a promise that they were going to go from Egypt and he was going to give them a promised land. They said, yeah, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And they did. And those blessings and the covenants fell upon them. Why? Because they followed God and his commandments. And they passed through on dry land. And they received the covenant and the blessings of the land and the inheritance. Can you see the parallel there? They died to the things that they knew that was in Egypt. And those that pined over those things, those individuals who wanted to not forget those things of Egypt, what happened to them? They were killed, weren't they? They died. They died because they rebelled against God and they died in the wilderness. And they were tried for 40 years. The new covenant, being born again. All of us who have made that decision. We died to the world. We, in a similitude, we were buried to the world. And when we came up in the promise of a new being. And by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost, we were born again. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. No different than Israel. Born of the water and born of the Spirit of God in their life. 1 Peter. Now the verses of Scripture here. And 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born again. The book of Mark in the 16th chapter. Here's the promise. It no longer resided with Israel. That promise that Jesus Christ had brought from his Father. It was a new marriage. It was going to be with not only just Israel, that it would be with all the world. And here in these words of Christ in the 15th and 16th verse, and he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. And that would be by the Spirit of God that they would speak the truth of Jesus Christ. They shall take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing, and shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those were the promises, and we find the same thing in the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, the 4th chapter, verses 85. It's on page 712. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples who should tarry, and also to all his disciples in the hearing of the multitude, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. And that was an opportunity for anyone in the whole human race to be able to enter into that marriage covenant, no different than what Israel was given that opportunity. The law of Christ. That's why Jesus used that parallel of the 10 virgins, the bride and the bridegroom. That's why when you read in Ephesians, Paul speaking of it, the husband, how Christ loves as the husband loves his wife, the bride. That's where you find in Revelations, it talks about the bridegroom and the bride say, come. All that parallels to the thing of the marriage, or the new covenant, the law of Christ, being born again, being married to Christ. The thing that John spoke of, I love, like I said, and you've heard it time and time again, you're going to hear it again tonight, I love John. I love the book of John. There's some beautiful things in here. Very plain and precious things that he records. 14th chapter of John. 18th verse. Here he says, this is the Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Again, you remember, you probably heard me say this. I'm going to say it again. That word comfortless. That was a Greek word. Orphanos, or orphaned. I won't leave you orphaned. I won't leave you as an orphan. He's going to adopt us. He's going to take us in by way of his Spirit. And we're going to be part of that covenant. And that's the part of the promise that would come, that comes by way of the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Romans in the 8th chapter. Another good verses of Scripture ties some of these things together. Verses 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, Paul using those very words, the spirit of adoption. The thing in which the promise that came from Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, that he would not leave us as orphans, but he would adopt us if we would follow his commandment and believe in his words, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. So he ties those things together, bringing down the covenants that came a long time from Abraham down to our day, that we all could be participants of that covenant. You remember it said that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's how it comes. I had a beautiful opportunity to read something on the CCEG. It comes from somebody fairly close to us. And I believe that it's a good example of what I just read here in the book of Romans. As for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I want you to listen to this. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope this letter reaches you in good spirits. How are you? I pray that your day has been glorious. Did you take a little time out to count all your blessings today? Have you spoken with our Father? I truly hope you have had time today to simply be still and revel in his warmth, mercy, and love for you. It astonishes and amazes me that our Father, so mighty and powerful, would care so much to provide me with the individual love and attention. When I was in Korea, I had an opportunity to go to an orphanage. I went there several times. And every time I went there, and there were others that went with me, and we would enter in and we could see those children, they swarmed you. They had no mother, they had no father, but they overwhelmed you. And they came and they pinched you and they tried to hug you, they tried to get your undivided attention. And it was overwhelming to me as an individual. It was overwhelming. But think about it. All they wanted was to be a part of you, to be adopted, to be a part of something, not a loose, a vagabond. They wanted to be adopted very much. They wanted to be loved. They wanted to have purpose, to be a part of something, because they felt that they couldn't. That's what Jesus Christ offers the world, to be a part of something, to be adopted, to be part of this great plan that he started a long time ago. That's what he's offering. And like these words say, it astonishes and amazes me that our Father, so mighty and powerful, will care so much to provide me with the individual love and attention. How many times have you got on your knees in sincerity and prayed to your God that he did not hear you? That he did not comfort you by the way of the power of the Holy Ghost. And bring warmth into your heart, knowing that you're loved, that you're not out there alone waiting to be adopted. You've been adopted. And you're part of his family. I bask in the realization that out of the countless number of his children, that he takes time to focus on me. Little insignificant me, a mere speck in this vast and wondrous existence. All I have to do is be still and listen. Make room for him. Allow him entrance into my life to fill my heart and soul with his blessed love. I truly pray that you were embraced by our Father this day and that you embraced him. His love for us is beyond mortal understanding, and truly it is. It is beyond our understanding. That was written by our sister, Chandra Vega. Adopted heirs into the kingdom of God. And how often we turn that away or take it lightly. In the book of Moroni, in the 8th chapter, in the 29th verse, and the first fruit of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments, and the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligent unto prayer until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. That beautiful promise. There, I'm going to now bring in some of those things of those beautiful covenants that come through way of the prophets like Isaiah. We find in the third book of Nephi in the 10th chapter. Here, verses 1 through 4, they should be fairly familiar to you. But if they will repent and hearken unto my word, speaking concerning the Gentiles, and this goes right along with what Brother Brian was speaking of this morning, because there's a great need for the Gentiles to repent. There's a very great need for that. And harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob. And we believe that we are that church. And we have come, all of us who have given ourselves over to that marriage, that covenant, being born again of Jesus Christ, becoming part of the body of Christ, we have come under that covenant. And be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob. So the promises that were given to Abraham long ago are upon us. Unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. I know there's a lot of question as to when this is going to occur, or this time frame. We do know that parts of this have been fulfilled. We also know that there are those things in this verses of Scripture that are still to come. But I want you to think and apply it to yourself. This is for you. This is for you, all of you who have accepted and was adopted, have come in unto the covenant. In the 9th verse, here we find that these words we can find in the book of Isaiah in the 54th chapter, but I chose to read them out of the Book of Mormon because of where they follow, the words that follow after that great promise of the becoming part of the covenant. He's speaking to Israel, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." Isn't those odd words? More are the children of the desolate, the shamam, than the children of the married wife. Who was the married wife? Wasn't that Israel? Aren't those interesting words? "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy inhabitants, habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of what? Of thy widowhood anymore." How do you become a widow? Your husband dies. And Jesus Christ died. And Isaiah, by the power of God, put the piece of the puzzle together. Where Paul was able to see it, and others who were by the power of the gift of the Holy Ghost could tie those things together. Shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker, thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused or cast off. And why was she cast off? Because she forsook her covenant. The scripture says very plainly, she went whoring after other gods. And she forsook her God, her husband. And she was refused. That's why all the prophets, Jeremiah and different ones, prophesied concerning Israel and what was going to happen to them. Why? Because they turned their backs on God. And they forsook their first love. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Isn't that beautiful how those things all fit together? Concerning Israel, concerning the promises that are given to us, and being adopted heirs. How beautiful those things are. In the book of Revelations, I had mentioned it earlier, and I'll just read it. It's in the 22nd chapter, the 17th verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That beautiful invitation. The Spirit of God working with the bride in conjunction in the last days, holding out this promise. The things that Brian was speaking of, saying, come. We have the truth to offer you. We have the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost to make you an adopted heir into the kingdom by the authority of Jesus Christ. Come. Be a part of that covenant. Be free of the burden of the world. Become dead to the world. Become alive to the promises of God. Well, that's half of my sermon tonight. The other half this is page 4. I have got 7 pages. But I guess I'll spare you tonight. Because the next part of this would be the Holy Ghost and the workings of the Holy Ghost and how it applies to the body of Christ and how beautiful it is. The only way we can understand the things of God is by the Spirit of God. The only way that our sister Chandra could write so eloquently is by the power of the Holy Ghost that worked within her, crying, Abba, Father. Bringing her comfort, bringing her strength. It's the only way we know and understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that created all things. And without Him, nothing was done. And without Him, salvation is unattainable. I hope and pray that the Spirit of God helped you to come to a little bit more understanding of the Scriptures, tied some of those things that we've been studying in Sunday school, maybe tied some of those things in the book of Isaiah where it sounded kind of funny, but now they become familiar to us because we have a better understanding of why they were said. May God bless you.
Jordan. Want your book? We'll use number 328 for the closing song. If you'll remember to please leave at least the chapel area as soon as the service is over so we can begin the practice, we'd appreciate it. Number 328. Shall we pray? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of this service and this day. We are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we had to be here, to hear your word preached, to contemplate the scriptures which you've caused to be written and preserved for our use, to come together and visit one with another concerning the welfare of our souls and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful for the message of this hour. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you provided that message to us. And we'll always remember, dear Heavenly Father, that you have called us to repent, that you called us, dear Heavenly Father, to walk in a straight, narrow path before you, to do the things that you've commanded us to do, and that we might be adopted heirs into the house of Israel, adopted into the promises that you have given us. Lord, we do pray that we'll prepare our lives, beginning even now if we have not started to. Prepare ourselves to stand before you at that great judgment day. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will look down upon us where we're weak, where we have fallen short, that you will forgive us, that you will strengthen us, that you will use us as instruments in your hand to do your work in this last day, that we might be strong and that we might be steadfast and are able to go and to preach and teach the gospel to all the world, even as you commanded your servants to do. Lord, I do pray for those who will be traveling this week to come and to join with us and to participate in the reunion. We ask, Lord, for your blessing to be upon them, to keep them safe upon the roadways as they drive and the airways as they fly. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your Spirit to rest upon our reunion, that it will be there to rule and overrule, that you will feed us with your spiritual food, that you will be with each speaker, that they might be able to bring unto us the words which you've placed upon their hearts, that we'll come with our ears open and ready to receive and apply it to our lives. Lord, I do pray that you will guide us and you'll direct us, that you will be there, that you will speak to us, that you will strengthen us, that we will feel your presence even as we come together away from the world for a short time, for a few short days, to worship you and to praise your name. Lord, I do pray that you continue with us, continue with the work of the gospel throughout the world, to be with each of us as we depart from here and go our separate ways, be it to our schools, to our work, to our homes, where it is we have to go, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that you continue with us, that you strengthen us, that we might be a light unto all those that we meet. Lord, I do pray that you will be with us. Many sick and afflicted, for Holly, as she was a minister to this day, that you'll bless her for the needs of the others, which names have been brought forth. We pray for your blessing to be upon them. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, once again, that you continue with us until we can meet together once again in your name. And we ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.